Well, good evening. Good evening. We have a good bunch here tonight. You guys look energetic. About an hour and a half, something like that. Feeling pretty good. That's what I thought. We got coffee shops littered around us, so I mean, surely you can get ready to go. No, actually, this is a two-pager. For me, a two-pager is relatively light duty, so do buckle in. Do get your Bibles out, but we should be out of here sometime before 6:30. Matthew chapter 22, if you don't mind, is a starting place. Commandments. How do 10 equal 2? Or how does 2 equal 10? It's weird math that the Bible has from time to time. And this is one of those things. Jesus answers the questions about the Ten Commandments with two answers. How can that be? How can 2 equal 10? How can 10 equal 2? Well, let's read it. And Brother Kevin read it to us earlier very well. Let's read it and make a couple of comments. One of which is this. This is a test to truly understand what's going on here. You have to remember that Jesus has just come into Jerusalem, riding on a foal, on the colt of a donkey, and he's come in, and all the people said, what? Hosanna, save now, son of David. And they praised his name, the children and the adults. And the religious leaders of the time were like, well, you should not do that. That's reserved for God. That's reserved for the Messiah. And Jesus is like, eh? Maybe that should tell you something. But then constantly, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were two different classes of religious groups. So you had one on one side, one on the other. And they keep sending their best guy to go and show this Jesus guy, teach him a lesson. He's from Nazareth. What can he possibly know about the law? So when you see the word lawyer here, it doesn't mean lawyer in the way that we think of lawyer. It means a lawyer of the law of Moses. So they are of the law. So these are specialists in the law of Moses who are coming to ask Jesus these questions. So Matthew 22, 34 through 40 is what's recorded for us here. And if you have headings in your Bible, you'll notice that there was a question from the Sadducees right before this question. So you see what I'm talking about reflected in the text. Well, verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. So you see the ego and the pride here? The Pharisees are like, these Sadducees are lightweights. They've only got their position because they're wealthy. Leave this to the boys, children, please. Leave this to the expert. We're the Pharisees. We know the law. We'll handle this Jesus guy. So this is what the attitude that's coming into this question. Now in verse 36. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now, if you remember the Ten Commandments as worded, that's not what that sounds like. The Ten Commandments doesn't say anything about loving your neighbor. It doesn't say anything particularly about loving the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind, your soul. We know the first commandment, right? But Jesus only lists two. The first one is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He didn't say that. This has got to be embarrassing for Jesus to get it so wrong. Well, of course not. Jesus gets it so right. Because if we are fully converted as Christians, we only need to know two commands. Wrapped up in these two commands, and Jesus says this, in the King James of it, it says, on these hang all the law and the prophets. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. If you're familiar with the Ten Commandments, the first four are to God. So Jesus would say you'd have one, two, three, four tiles, if you can imagine that. The other commandments, the other six, are to people. So four tiles hanging, one, two, three, four, to God. Six tiles, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, hanging for man. So that's what Jesus says, is you can divide all the commands up into two things. So is he right? Is he right, and could I prove it from the Scriptures? Now something to remember, at the time that Jesus is here, when he would say the Scripture, he doesn't mean 2 Timothy. He's not talking about all writings are inspired by God. We can't fall back on that passage. It did not exist yet. For Jesus to refer to the Scriptures, it would have meant the Old Covenant, what we call the Old Testament. So can we go to the Old Testament and find that what Jesus says here is correct? Now let's remember what he said. Two commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. They're not in the traditional two recordings of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20 is one of them. Deuteronomy chapter 5, if you'd like to cheat, is where we're going next with our look. But Jesus sums them up by saying, they're about God and about man. So let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Can we find in the Old Covenant, in what Jesus would call the Scriptures, can we find these two commandments listed in this way? Because remember, that's the question the lawyer asked. In the law, it's important to note, he's not just asking a general principle. He's saying, show me from the law where it says what the greatest commands are. So you see how it's a little bit of a setup. Know this, the Ten Commandments are in 5, they're not in 6. But what is in 6 is one of these Hear, O Israel passages. You remember that the Israelites were instructed to write the law on their doorposts. This is one of those verses that commands that. So we're in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Hear, O Israel. You know, Jesus says many times, verily, verily, or truly, truly. This is Jehovah God saying, listen. Listen. The number one thing you must do is love God. The number one thing. We talk a lot about a lot of things. We talk about the baptism. We talk about crucifixion, the resurrection. All that is true. If I don't have faith in Jehovah God, none of it matters. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, Jehovah, the Lord our God is one. That is true. That sets up the great juxtaposition between how can God be three in one, and that's not a lesson that we're talking about tonight. But it must go back to this succeeding or preceding principle that the Lord is God is one. Anything we believe about God must be subservient to that verse. So Jesus is one for one somehow. He's found in the law where this quote that the Lord is one, and we must love Him with all our heart, mind, and our strength. But what about this idea of loving my neighbor as myself? Now that sounds awful New Testament-y. He tried to say. You know, people will try and say, I like the New Testament God. The Old Testament God's just mean. I like the New Testament God. People who say that don't really know their Bible that well. I hate to say that, but it's true. Because you know what you'll find? Of the most Old Testament God-y books, which one is the most Old Testament-y? If it's not Leviticus, I don't know what else it would be. So we're going to the most legalistic, the most Old Testament God-y book of the Old Testament. And we go to Leviticus, and what do we find? In fact, what we find is a whole section of God loving people. What? The Old Testament God loved people? Well, of course He did. Of course He did. He judged those who were evil. He still judges those who are evil, and He will judge those who are evil. But does God love the sojourner? Oh, you better believe it. Does God make sure that He puts in His law that people take care of each other? Yes, they do. And in verse 18, you have this. Leviticus 19 and verse 18. I apologize, I'm behind on my clicking. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Jehovah. So Jesus got it right. Jesus got it right. When we think about the Ten Commandments, and we're going to read them out of Deuteronomy chapter 5 in just a moment. When we think about them, and we think about not stealing, let's just think about that for a moment. Let's say Tom has something I want. I don't know. Tom has a really nice barbecue grill. I've got a truck. It'll fit in my truck. It seems like it should come home with me. So if I want that grill, I'm going to go steal it from Tom. Well, do I love Tom? Do I want somebody to steal something from me? Well, of course I do not. Tom may have spent years and years designing that and fabricating it and getting it just so, and it's taken him all this time to build this one special grill. If I love Tom, I'm not going to steal from it. It's ridiculous sounding to hear the scenario. It should be ridiculous to hear the scenario. Because if I love Tom as I love myself, I'm not going to steal his grill. I'm not going to take what he wants. I'm not going to curse Tom. I'm not going to do any of those things. I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. And this is one of those lessons that I told you before that I use sermons as excuses to read text to you. This is one of those. This sermon is partially an excuse to have you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and to know that this is one of the recordings of the Ten Commandments. This is Deuteronomy, that, by the way, the name of the book means second telling of the law. So this is actually based in the name of the book, the second telling is there. We're going to begin in verse 6, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6. I'm just going to read the entire thing to you. And again, this is, if you're wondering why is he doing that, because this is a good thing to do. Paul told Timothy to give himself to the public reading of Scripture until they came. So there can be no better thing than to read the Word of God. Commandment number one, Jehovah said to the people, I am Jehovah your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, Jehovah your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son, daughter, male servant, female servant, ox or donkey, livestock, sojourner who's within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. The Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Okay, let's take a deep breath. How many commandments we got? Now, Jesus only had two. So far, we got four. There be no other gods before me, right? No graven images. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath. All those have to do with Jehovah God. The book of Exodus ties the Sabbath to creation. The book of Deuteronomy ties it to the coming out of Egypt. So if I've got four from ten, and I do my math right, that means I've got six left. And guess what? We start in the next verse with number five. Honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, and that you may go well with, that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field or his male servant, or his female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain out of the midst of the fire, the cloud and the thick darkness with a loud voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me, the me here being Moses. As soon as you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness while the mountain was burning with fire, you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and greatness. We've heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. This day we have seen God speak with man, and man still lives. Now, everybody knows those in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Murder, steal, lie, adultery, covetousness, honor your father and mother. In fact, if it's not the trivia question this week, it was last week's. What is the first commandment with a promise? Paul calls the fifth commandment to honor your father and mother the first commandment with a promise. What does that mean? If you read the text, God is saying, if you obey me in this, then you will live long in the land. Remember, Moses leads the Israelites out of Egypt, but not into the land of Canaan. The book of Deuteronomy was given just before Moses was about to die to rededicate that second generation that outlived the 40-year generation of the original group so that they would go into the land. And God is saying, if you listen to my words, if you do what I ask, you will have success. You will be Israelites in the land of Israel for a long time. So how does Jesus break that down into love the Lord our God and love our neighbor as ourselves? It's about our heart. Jesus said he did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Does the law matter? Yes. Are there legal things that are sins for Christian? Yes. There are lists of sins all the way through the New Testament. There are things we are told very specifically not to do. But God doesn't really want to have any law for us. Do you know that? Do you know God doesn't really want us to have a law at all in the New Covenant? He wants us to simply love Him and love our neighbor with a pure heart. True love is Christianity. If I love you and I see you in need, Book of 1 John tells me, how can the love of God be in me if I have this world's goods and I don't meet your needs? If I say to you, be warmed and filled, but I have the ability to alleviate your need and I don't alleviate it, I don't love you. That's not love. Christians are to be converted in heart by the great story of the gospel of God. God looked down on this world and created beings in complete rebellion. Complete. What do you think the percentage of people in the world today is that has any semblance of submitting themselves to God? I have no idea. Are there other people that curse God on a regular basis, deny God on a regular basis, and want nothing to do with God whatsoever? Billions and billions of people. Yet God sent His Son to die. I've said before, a lot of times when I'm taking the Lord's Supper, you know, we have so many young children now that you'll have a lot of noise going on. Remember that God knew He was sending His Son at that same tender age to die. It's sobering. It's converting. Because when I understand that God showed that kind of love to us and Christ followed through on it with what He did for us, God made He, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, God made He, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that in Him we might have the righteousness of God. We can stand right before God because the price paid for His blood, from His blood on the cross. That's love. And that's Christianity. So do I love God? Do I love my neighbor? The question to this answer is found in Hebrews chapter 8, and this is our last verse tonight. Hebrews chapter 8 quotes Jeremiah chapter 31. You've heard me talk about this verse before. What the writer of Hebrews here is saying is this, what God through Jeremiah is saying, is that there will come a time when we don't have the book of Leviticus. We don't have all the laws. That we live a more mobile way of living our Christian life. If you think about the Israelite people, they weren't really mobile. They were tied to Jerusalem. They were tied to the temple. Guess what we can do now? I carry my own temple with me. I am the temple. God goes with me. Wherever I am, God goes. Wherever a group of Christians is, that's where God is. Christianity can cover the world through the power of the gospel. Through the two ceremonies that we have, baptism and the Lord's Supper, the gospel and two things, we can conquer the world for Christ. What an amazing, beautiful, wonderful reality. And it's great that we have New Testaments, but we don't need them in the way they needed them under the old law. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. This is, again, quoting Jeremiah, describing God has said, the old covenant that they did not keep will be done away with. There will be a new covenant. In that new covenant period, in the New Testament period, in the Christian period, this will be the reality. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That used to throw me pretty bad, because I'm like, I don't know all the New Testament. I can't memorize it. I don't know where a lot of the things are. I didn't have this. It seemed to me in a miraculous event here. It seemed to me as if when I got baptized, God was going to write these things on my mind and give me some ability to do that. No. What God was going to do was bring me to the point of love and conversion. And then in showing us the story of Jesus, help me to understand that I love God and I love His Son and I love other people. Do I love like God? This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, write them on their hearts. There it is. Every decision I'm faced with is simple. If it's about God, do I put Him first? Yes. This is not a question I ask myself every time, by the way. This is a question I answer once for all. To become a Christian is to give myself to these two phrases. To say, Lord, in any situation, no matter what happens, I will put You first. Lord, no matter what the situation, I will put my neighbor first. I will treat my neighbor the way I want to be treated. That's a one-time commitment. That's a conversion to Christ. And saying, Lord, not my will, but Yours be done. That's how Jesus made 10 commandments out of 2. And that's our lesson tonight. Are you converted? I'm not asking you if you believe the Bible in the sense that someone tells you this is the Word of God and they shake it at you and say, now, son, do you believe this is the Word of God? You may or may not. But let me tell you something. If you don't really believe it, you'll never really convert. Do you really believe God sent His Son? Do you really believe Jesus died on the cross? Do you really, really believe Jesus was a man who died? And died on... You need to ask yourself that question. Because if you don't, you'll never trust God enough to give Him your heart. And that's what He wants. Your minds and your hearts in loving service to His Son as He awaits our arrival in heaven where Jesus is preparing a habitation for us now. If you're not a Christian, let me tell you something. We've been here a long time today, but you want to know what would make it worthwhile? You come down that aisle and confess Christ as your Lord, that you believe He was raised from the dead and that God did it, and you're going to serve Him and He's going to save you. We'll be glad to make you a Christian tonight as we stand and we sing.